I want to remind you of a couple things before we get started. The first thing is we do have on the calendar coming up March 26th a churchwide talent show. And so the reason that I want to make an extra plug for it now is we need a little time. And maybe not all of you, but it's a talent show and we need a little work. But I remind you, at our talent show, it's really not so much of an event to showcase, you know, really high degrees of talent, although that does happen. It's more of a time to have a good time. And so if you have something that's funny or silly or entertaining in any way, we'd love to see it. So you have a few weeks to work on it, March 26th. Also, there's a sign-up sheet for teachers for our children's classes. The next quarter is coming up quickly. In 2.5 weeks, we start a new quarter. And Wednesday night is completely open. And so take a look at the sign-up sheet for our children's classes. See Mary Martin if you have any questions regarding that. I obtained a speeding ticket a number of years ago, a long while back, okay? A speeding ticket, and I was given an option by the judge to go to defensive driving class in lieu of paying this ticket, and I thought that was great. And so I did that. I went to that class, but I have to admit, my heart really wasn't in that class. I was there for one reason. Whatever I need to do to finish this defensive driving class, that's what I wanted to do. That's why I was there. It is possible for us to come here with the same attitude. Tonight, or this morning, I want us to think about the privilege of worship. We're going to start in Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13 speaks about people coming before God. Their body is completely there, but their heart is not completely there. And in verse 13, Scripture says, "This people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." It's not full devotion. It's not genuine. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is going on in heaven right now? If you have loved ones that you believe are in heaven, and before I finish that thought, let's be honest. Not everyone's in heaven. Scripture says, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction." I know that's a sobering thought, but not everyone's in heaven. I've preached a lot of funerals. Never one of them did the family believe that their loved one was not in heaven. But they're not all there. But in heaven right now, what are people doing? Sometimes you'll hear people talk about, you know, a loved one who's passed, and they'll say, you know, they can just picture old grandpa right now in heaven. He's by a creek bank with his fishing pole. I mean, he's having the best time. Or grandma, she's in heaven. I can just see her right now in heaven. She's in her kitchen and she's baking one of her favorite pies. I assure you, that's not what our loved ones are doing in heaven. Amen? That's not what's going on in heaven. This is what's going on in heaven. Revelation 4:8 gives us a glimpse of what it's like in heaven. And it says, speaking in apocalyptic language, figurative language, there were four living creatures. Each of them had six wings, full of eyes all around. And within, and day and night, they never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him. It's a picture of what heaven is like. And Scripture tells us in heaven, those that are there, they're praising God. They're worshiping God. Because when you're in the presence of the Almighty, that's what you do. That's what you want to do. So in my mind, if I picture myself in heaven on this beautiful golf course, that is a very immature, naive thought. Okay? Maybe innocent thought. But let's get a little wise this morning. Because when I'm before the Almighty, I have no doubt that everything in me will want to worship Him. And it will not drag on. And it will not get old. And I will not get tired. And I will not get bored of worshiping God. This mentions elders. In heaven, elders will receive honor. And rightly so. There are a lot of jobs in our world that through media and through our ability, our connection with the internet, you know, we're aware of a lot of things that people do. And in man's eyes, there are important jobs that people have. Maybe a CEO of a large company seems like an important job. Maybe a high-ranking officer in the military seems like an important job. Maybe some of our politicians or even the president of a nation seems like an important job. The most important job on this planet is to shepherd God's people. We have three elders here who have the most important job a person can have. Because their job is to oversee your soul. Isn't that right? Most important job on this planet. And we need to pray for them more. We need to honor them more. We have men in this congregation who have served as elders here or elsewhere. They should be honored. And Scripture says in heaven they will be. And Scripture says in heaven before the Almighty, they'll take their crowns of honor and they'll cast them at God's feet. It's nothing because of how great God is. So reading on, they cast their thrones before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." I don't know if we understand fully who we are worshiping. And even the extent that we do understand who we are worshiping, we forget it. We forget that worship is a big deal. It's a big deal. When we gather in here on a Sunday morning to worship the Almighty, that is a big deal. When we gather on a Wednesday night or any other time, and we worship God, even if it's not the whole church family, it's still a big deal. When we worship God, it is a privilege to come before the Almighty. And when we do, turn to Psalm 29 verse 1. I want to point out a few things that happen when we do that. Psalm 29 starts out with the word ascribe. Ascribe to the Lord. And the word ascribe means a credit to or attribute to. It means give credit to this one for something. And so we ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. This psalm starts out and it says, hey, you in heaven, which would be angels and angelic beings, you ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. What does God deserve in our worship? So we gather to worship. We worship through singing. We worship through prayer. We worship through communion. What does God deserve? The glory due His name. What does He do? What does He deserve when we worship? When I was a kid growing up, grew up in an auditorium, a church building, an auditorium that was kind of a shotgun auditorium, one middle aisle and just two rows of pews. It went way back. When I was old enough to help with communion, as we did it there, we'd go up to the front, stand behind the table facing the audience, and we'd get our trays and we'd pass them, take them to the back, somebody would gather them, and then we'd go back to the front. Next prayer, and we'd pass the juice. Same thing, go back to the front, next prayer, we'd pass the offering. Not because it's part of communion, but it's a convenient time to, right? So we do that, but after we pass the offering, we're finished as servers. And in my home church, we had communion after the sermon. And after communion, we had one song and a prayer, that's it. So after the communion, we're almost finished. And I remember being in the back, and so oftentimes we wouldn't go back to our seat. There's just one song going to be a prayer. So we might stand back there, and I remember standing back there, and two things stand out. One is the older men that would stand back there during that final song would jingle their coins in their pocket. Any of y'all remember that? Jingle their coins in their pocket. And I'm told that that habit kind of goes back to a time where A, coins were worth something, and B, why they jingled them, I don't know if it's habit or, you know, anyway, like to know that I've got a little money in my pocket, I don't know, but they jingled their coins in their pocket, all right? The other thing I remember is some of the men would be talking during the final song, and I remember my father, he would come to the back, and he would stand in that area, but he would be engaged with the final song, final prayer. Worship is serious business. It's not somber, and I want to make that distinction and talk a little more about that. But by serious, I don't mean it's sad or somber, but it's serious business. I'll give you an example that may help a little. This past week, Sydney had her 15th birthday. I survived. I need a shirt that says, I survived six 15-year-olds in my house for a sleepover. Right? Huh? Some were 16. I'm sorry, Liz. That's right. I survived five 15-year-olds and one 16-year-old. So there was a time when I'm setting up some things for the birthday that they were going to do, setting up a movie, and they're getting the cake out. I'm not messing with that. I'm doing my stuff, and they're all together doing their stuff around the table, and they're about to sing happy birthday, and they get my attention, and they say, hey, we're going to sing happy birthday. Come in here. Sing happy birthday. Isn't that something, that when we sing happy birthday to someone, everyone drops whatever you're doing, stop talking, stop, wait till Aunt Susie gets out of the bathroom, whatever we're doing, let's get in here and sing everyone to sing happy birthday. It's not somber, but it's important. When we gather here, we're singing to the Almighty how worthy He is. It's important. Reading on, verse 4. Look at verse 4. There it is. Couldn't find it. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all cry glory. It is an amazing thought to think of what God's voice can do.
That's right.
Look at the universe. Jump on your computer and use it for something good. And Google the universe and look at some videos that describe what we now know about the universe. And to think that God did that just by His voice. The voice of the Lord. This says, at the very end, in His temple all cry glory. Everyone in heaven cries glory. But not all on earth cry glory. It may be that not all in this room cry glory. It may be that not all in this room, we're here 100% in body, but maybe not 100% in heart. And so I want to remind us of something we do that's so routine and so habitual, but it's so important. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Verse 23 says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. This was our scripture reading this morning. It is a joy to tell God how great he is.
Amen.
It is a joy. If I don't feel joy when I tell God how great he is, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it right. I know the time. Trust me, I've been in worship services from an infant. I know the feeling of when is this going to be done. I know the feeling of, boy, this sermon's extra long today. And I'd say that even if Dad were here, but he's not here this morning. I know that feeling. And there's other PKs in the audience that might agree.
Amen.
It's okay. Right? Preachers aren't perfect. I know the half-hearted feeling and the shame, right? Because we don't want to offer that to God. We don't want to offer that. It should be joy that we offer. It should be joy that we feel. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. I want to talk just a minute about, it's challenging to talk about our children in worship. It's true that for a five-year-old, a four-year-old, you know, the prayers, the sermon, the songs, they're not written on a five-year-old level. This isn't VBS. It's not tailored to that age group. But it is true that we need to teach our younger kids, our children, we want to teach them that what is happening here is important. What happens here is the highlight of our week because we get to come together with our church family and praise Almighty God. What happens here is important. They may not understand it all. That's okay. But we need to train our families, our children, that we love coming here. We love coming here. We need to train them that what's happening here, they can engage in on their level. I remember being of an age where I could read, but I couldn't read real well. And I could sing, but I couldn't. Mother would point along in the songbook to keep me where we were in the songbook. I also need to mention that children can sing before they can read. Children can sing before they can really speak. Music connects with us. And it is a special joy for me to hear one of my children. So now I still have one that's not outgrown me. And to have her... No. I love you other two as well, but I love you too, Liz. I love you first. To have her in the pew and hear her sing in her child voice is wonderful. We need to train our children. Two things in worship. One, we are worshiping the Almighty, and that's important. And number two, we do it as a family. This isn't what mom does. This isn't what dad does. This isn't just what grown-ups do. We come to worship God as a family. And we need to train them as we can so they grow up loving to come here. We're going to turn, I want you to turn to Psalm 100. We'll read that in a minute. Psalm 100. When we worship, we thank God. We thank God. Recently, Gregory Aldridge gave me this. It's a lamp that he had that was given to him. And he thought I might like that, and he was right. It's a nice lamp. I have a lamp similar to this, but on a lower scale. It's not nice like this one. And I really like it. So he brought it recently. And when he did, now he and I typically, we have a good relationship, but it's a little goofy. He likes to pat my bald head for whatever strange reason. And I like to kick him in the shin. Because I can do it without him knowing I'm about to do it. He doesn't like that, but we have a goofy relationship. But a good one nonetheless. And when he gave that to me in my office, there was a moment that I got serious and I told him, thank you. Thank you. I like this. Thank you. When we worship God, we are thanking God. And sometimes if we do it half-hearted, it's like we're thanking Him like we would thank someone for holding the door for us going into Quick Trip. It's still a thank you, but it's a thanks. And we want more than that for God. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Let's look at this part. This should well up joy. That's what this is about. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates, not with, I'm going to talk a minute here, not with dread, not with boredom, not with frustration, not with, hey, let's hurry and get this over with so we can go on to what I really want to do today, but enter His gates with thanksgiving. We come here with thankful hearts. And when we do, we proclaim in a very public way our love for God. Let those, Psalm 35, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say forever and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of His servant. Romans 12:11 reminds us, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. There's two words used there. Describes us as Christians and how we should be with God and regarding God. And the first word is zeal. Zeal means enthusiasm in a pursuit of a cause. It means you're about something, you're pursuing something, and you're enthusiastic about it. You're excited about it. This is the vehicle you see passing you on the highway that says, take state. They're going after a cause and they're excited about it. That is zeal. Fervent is passion. Fervent. Literally, it means boiling over in spirit. When we are here, this isn't somber. It is serious. And it is joyful. It is something that we do with hearts full of joy. Our hearts should be boiling over with joy to worship God. I want to leave you with one thought. Periodically, we have on a Wednesday night, we do this once a month, a Wednesday night across the street. One month we'll have a singing night where we sing and we tailor it for different men to sing and boys to train on singing while we worship. We do that one month on a Wednesday night. And then the next month on a Wednesday night, which happens to be this Wednesday night, we do what we call power night. We sing and we worship and we pray. And we call it Power Night because it's powerful. And if it's not powerful, we're not doing it right. It should be powerful when we worship God. That's what that night is. And I encourage you, if at all possible, come Wednesday night. Because we're not doing something minimal or haphazard or an afterthought or just a way to give teachers a break. We're doing something that should be a lot of fun if we do it right. And it is. There have been many Wednesday nights on those power nights that I go dragging in there thinking, if I wasn't the preacher, oh, devil would be tempting me to stay home tonight because I don't feel like it. I'm being honest. I'm not saying I wouldn't be there. I'm just saying I didn't feel like it. And I leave filled up. Amen. And I know I'm not the only one. I mean, I leave filled up. I'm bouncing walking out. I know this kind of comes at the end of service today, and we've sang most of our songs. We're going to sing one more, a song of encouragement. But I do ask you to take a deep look at yourself and how you worship God and try to remember. When we are in occasions like this, try to remember how great it should be, how important it is, so that we give God our very best. We're going to sing a final song. It's a song of encouragement. If you're here this morning and there's a need that you have, we'd like to help you with that. If there's something on your heart, if there's one here this morning that you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, you've never given your life to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. And so we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing, please.
I am blind, O Lord.